So we have a swap out. Our friend Kevin Bullock is not here today, but we have a guest, Kevin, also known as Matt Gibb. Do you want to use my mic while you're playing? Would that help? You got it?
Hello?
Nope.
Hello?
There you go. Super. All right.
Thank you very much, Heather. Like Heather said, if you came here and you know Kevin Bullock, you probably figured out by now that I am not Kevin Bullock. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it, but I'm going to do my best to fill his shoes. So my name is Matthew Gibb. I work at Maxar, and I'm based out of Washington, D.C., in the U.S. So before we dive too far into things, I sort of want to talk about the elephant in the room. I am not a statistician, nor am I like an M&E specialist, but I have spoken to quite a few people here over the past several days between the HOT Summit and the events here at State of the Map. And you know, some people I've known for years, some people I'm just meeting for the first time. So I think I've got a pretty good sample size. And there's one question that has been at the forefront of most people's minds. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's why you're here today. Like, hey, somebody from Maxar is here, and I really want to hear it from the horse's mouth. And that question is, did we plan this? So this is downtown. You're allowed to laugh, it's okay. If you don't, my kids don't either, so it's fine. It's just a bar in the old city. Max Bar. I thought it was funny. But really, the big question everybody's sort of asking, and I've probably answered a dozen times the past several days, is what happened to Maxar and where did Digital Globe go? So that's technically two questions, but let's talk about it. I don't want to go as far back in, with my story as Dr. Zipf did yesterday with the history of the university. But I will start in some simpler days, before the GDPR, before Avengers Infinity War, before the Tide Pod Challenge, and before the last season of Game of Thrones. Way back in 2017, MDA Holdings and Digital Globe merged to create a new company, Maxar. And that created these four separate businesses operating all under the Maxar name, but retaining their legacy. So there was SSL, Digital Globe, Radiant Solutions, and MDA. So for a little over a year, these four companies operated as separate business units, keeping their names and areas of expertise, but ultimately it was determined that we could work better together, and it made sense to become one Maxar. But one thing hasn't changed. We still want to be able to provide insights about our changing planet, where and when it matters, and OpenStreetMap certainly matters. So to get into things, there have been some changes, and of course change means saying goodbye to some things. So if you haven't noticed already, as of July 1st, the Digital Globe Premium and Standard Imagery Services are now gone. But that means the Maxar Premium and Standard Imagery Services are here, and I'll talk to you about some of the changes and benefits of that next. And another farewell is for the Mapbox aerial imagery that had previously been incorporated into the DG Premium service. That was mainly in major cities where there was aerial imagery available. If you reached a high enough zoom level, you'd notice a transition to aerial imagery. That is no longer in the Maxar Premium service. So some of the new updates to the Maxar imagery services. It's going to be exclusively satellite imagery with a spatial resolution between 30 and 50 centimeters. The previous DG services ranged anywhere from 30 to 60. And there is some shift, as everybody's, I'm sure, experiences, and that's to be expected. Usually it's around 2 to 3 meters. If you're using, you know, ID or JOSM. You can use the imagery offsets. JOSM has a great plugin for the imagery offset database, where you can actually share offsets with other mappers. So that way everyone is working with a similar offset. And we're also planning on pushing updates more frequently. In some places that can be up to 2 or 3 times a year. So there's also a good amount of work left to do for these services. First is around updates. If there's a particular area that hasn't been updated or the quality isn't great, please reach out and we can try and figure out what's going on. I'll provide some contact information at the end to reach out to Kevin. He'll be the best person to help you with that. Another question I've been asked quite a bit is, well, when is the imagery from, right? That's very important. So you may recall that with the DG services, there was a vintage layer that was available in addition to the actual image layer. So that's not yet available for the Maxar imagery, but it is coming. We're working on restoring that. We recognize the importance of knowing when you're looking at, right? And that could end up, not knowing that information could end up turning a mapper away because they don't know the date that which they're mapping, or if it might not be recent enough. So that vintage service, it's a couple months away, but we have the data. We want to make it happen. We're just figuring out the best way to do so. So that's largely the updates on the imagery services. But the other part of this talk was around another sort of proof of concept that we've been playing with. It hasn't been implemented anywhere, but I just wanted to sort of share some of the details with you. So like I mentioned earlier, we're working on getting the vintage layer for the Maxar imagery service available to the community. And while that vintage layer may ultimately be available, ultimately mappers are going to be limited to what's available in the preset base maps. We've been investigating the use of WMS and web feature services to automatically add feature tags as part of an image category with values based on the image metadata. Things like imagery date, sensor, or the mosaic that it's from. So the benefit of this being additional attribution and context for a feature, informing users not only when the feature was created, but also the source of the imagery from which it was mapped. So we began looking into this with the landfall of Hurricane Harvey back in 2017 in Houston, Texas. What we did in our own forked version of ID, we added 3 WMS and WFS pairs to this version of ID to the data/imagery.json that's available in ID. And with 2 sources of pre-event imagery and 1 source of post-event imagery, we wanted to be able to compare, mapping a feature before the event and then being able to use that metadata after the event. So what basically happens is when ID is initialized, the WFS is loaded locally into memory. The WFS can also be queried on each zoom or pan as well. When that overlay is selected, the WFS metadata features are loaded, again, being the date, the sensor, and the mosaic. And when that feature is created, the metadata is retrieved from the WFS and added as tags to the feature. Here's just an example, again, over Houston, showing the WMS of the event-related imagery. Being loaded into memory, indicating that the console, that the feature services are present and that they were loaded sort of as part of the proof of concept. So you can see the WFS grid there. And here's your typical example of feature creation in ID. We drop the point and add the feature tag. In this case, mini golf. Not sure about you, but the dog leg on 17 looks pretty rough. It's a golf joke. And here's the example showing the WMS of the event-related imagery from the WFS. So when the feature is added, the WFS allows the source tags to be transferred onto the feature, allowing for users to identify the date which a feature is mapped. Let it go through again so you can see. So there's the imagery metadata. So how does this impact OpenStreetMap, though? We're able to look at a single image and get the source metadata added to the features. But how do we allow for the imagery mosaics to allow for this metadata to be passed at a global scale? We want to be able to accommodate mosaic imagery references. Almost all OSM users are mapping with an imagery mosaic, so we really need to scale it up. Of course, geometry matters. The azimuth angle of the sensor and the platform all play a role in the resulting satellite image. But it would ultimately allow the end user to discern additional information about the features. And there would obviously need to be discussion around attribution needs as well as the standardization of the source tags. It's not something you just implement and make everybody have the metadata tags. There would obviously need to be discussion around it to work with it, the practice within OSM. This was really just a proof of concept that we thought would be cool to share. What's the time of the image you use is another question. You know, are you using the local time of where the image was captured? Or are you using UTC time, which might be more useful to a more global community? If you're looking at things at and want to know a specific time, it's a question you need to answer. And so there's you know other questions and details to be straightened out, but there's definitely a benefit to be had for adding additional metadata at a feature level. So thank you very much for your time. I am open to some questions about the presentation. I am not necessarily an expert on the imagery topic, but I'm happy to chat with you or take down your question so that we can get an answer for you after the conference. I have Kevin's OSM username here. He's a great resource to reach out to if you have any specific questions on this work. Thanks.
All right. Does anybody have any questions for Matt?
Right there.
Thomas, I'm just going to move by you. I appreciate that. Someone's got to break the ice and make me run, but I'm missing my second cup of coffee. It's not going to be pretty. There we go.
Thanks for your talk and for providing the imagery. And I think the metadata are extremely important. And what is the support for other editors? Or is there a generic format you provide the metadata?
I'm sorry, can you repeat it?
The support for other editors, so is there a generic format you provide the metadata?
Is there a generic format for retrieving the metadata? I'm not entirely sure. It would depend on the WFS that we created. So for this, it was just this one test case over Houston, and it was you saw the grid that was created. So it would depend on the imagery service itself. If we were to scale it up, looking at an entire mosaic, there it would be important for there to be a standard set of tags and metadata, and that's why I mentioned having the discussion with the community before even thinking about making this something that's available everywhere.
Super. We have another question, but I'm looking for Saeed. and Sabata, who are going to be giving Ignite talks. Are you here? No? They're going to lose their spots. Christoph?
Yeah, I first wanted to emphasize on what the previous question was about. I would suggest to you to reach out to the developers of other editors and ID about how to best make a concept and what their requirements would be. That would be great to involve all, because many of the people who would profit from these features are using other editors. Mm-hmm. My question was, you're also recording stereo images from multiple directions, and if there are any plans to make three-dimensional data derived from stereo imaging to the OSM community for mapping.
So just to make sure I'm hearing you right, is there any intention to add more stereo imagery available in OSM?
Well, the stereo imagery itself is not of that much interest.
So can you take the microphone? The echo is... Can you repeat the question now without the microphone? I couldn't hear you.
Can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Then I repeat the question without the microphone. You record stereo images with your satellites, and I wonder if there are any plans to make three-dimensional data derived from the stereo images to the OSM community for mapping purposes, or mapping three-dimensional features.
Oh, okay.
Can you
Thank
repeat
you.
The question, Matt?
Yeah. So the question was, is there any intention to release the features could be mapped within OSM? I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll write it down and I'll get that to Kevin. Thank you.
How to reach Christoph?
I'm sorry?
Sorry. Who doesn't have his email address? Seriously. Warmly, Christoph. The most engaged. Have we ever done the math on the mailing list as to the percentage of emails? All right, so I'm still looking for Saeed, Sabrata, and Ilya for Ignite Talks. Nope, all right. And questions, next questions for our friend.
Heather.
Sorry. I did say two cups of coffee.
Hello.
Hi.
So in the slide you said that there will be places that are gonna be updated twice a year. Mm-hmm. How about, let's say, a general minimum, like there will be imagery older than 1 year, 2 years, or what's the plan?
I'm not sure about the if anyone didn't hear, the question was some places may be updated two times a year. But what's the minimum? Is it going to be, you know, once a year or 2 years or more? I don't know the exact number, but I'll pass that to Kevin. I'll make sure Kevin collects these questions and shares them out broadly, because I'm sure a lot of people have similar questions. Thank you.
Hi, Matt. Based on building off that question, is there any intention to let people know when and where layers will be updated, or is it just going to be that magical black box when the imagery pops up?
So I'm not entirely sure. When and where imagery will be updated. I do know we will have the vintage layer about when the image was updated, but in terms of what's in the pipeline? I don't know. Part of that depends on the available imagery. Sometimes there's not as much imagery over an area, but I'll ask Kevin as well. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Matt? Once, twice. Matt, are you going to be here the rest of the day?
I will be here the rest of the day. I'll be here all day tomorrow.
All right. So two more days to drill him with questions in person. And he can write them down if he doesn't know it. All right, so thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Is that really loud? Probably.